Taylor, just give it to me. Just tell me.
Let's catch up. Week 10. What is week 10 going to be remembered by? It has to be that five teams won on game-winning field goals. Unfortunately for me, it was the Ravens who lost on a game-winning field goal by the Browns. But it is crazy to think Arizona, Cleveland, Detroit, Houston, and Seattle converted a game-winning field goal with no time remaining in week 10. The most game-winning scores with no time remaining in regulation in a single week in NFL history. Wow.
It's a wow. I mean, it was really
and
just...
Another wow is that I think that 10 or 9 of 12 games were within one score in the fourth quarter.
No, it was a Sunday of game-winning field goals. It really was. I mean, it was a Sunday.
Close games.
Absolutely close games. And we probably should start with something that we know we were both absolutely locked into, because there were moments within that Browns-Ravens game where we were both convinced it was over. And I know you were doing your best, you know, kind of humble winning thing. You know, there's that sort of Zen
it's
thing.
It's hard to have a humble approach, though, when opening drive, Kyle Hamilton does a pick six into the end zone and they go up 7 to start the game.
Is it amazing that Deshaun Watson this season has done that twice as a first pass attempt? That seems unreal for a team that is in the playoffs at this moment. And frankly, even, I mean, potentially winning that division as well. I mean, it just the Browns season, and I know I'm the one driving the Browns bandwagon here, but
no, I mean, I'm all in on it too. It's just that defense is unreal. Myles Garrett recorded a 1.5 sacks in yesterday's game, just involved in every single play on defense. Their defense is just playing at an elite level. And then you've got Deshaun Watson in there where he did enough, you know, like he scrambled when he had to scramble, despite having an injured ankle. He seemed like he was hobbling around, but he was still able to run when he needed to. And he made throws when he needed to, made passes. And then it was just the end of the game where it kind of all came back around, where the Browns got a pick six and then got the ball back because their defense stopped the Ravens offense and then the field goal.
It's almost karma for the game last season where Flacco and the Jets came back against the Browns. That's what it felt like watching it. It was that, you know, now granted, there was no onside kick involved here, but still it just seemed so out of sorts. It seemed many times.
So what does this mean for the AFC North? I still think it's the best division in the league. The Bengals had a surprising loss because the Texans are on a roll right now. CJ Stroud in conversation for MVP, which is unheard of. He'd be the first quarterback, or he'd be the first rookie since Jim Brown to ever
actually win the MVP. And
I'm not, you know, getting ahead of myself, but the fact that he's in the conversation, the fact that he does not look like a rookie quarterback out there, he's not making rookie quarterback mistakes. We knew that the Texans, when they got D'Amico Ryans and they drafted CJ Stroud and the third overall pick, we knew that they We knew that they were going to be a team that was going to turn it around and they were going to be a team to contend with. But what we didn't know is that it was going to happen so quickly. We didn't know that it was going to happen in season one.
Not like this. And frankly, I would even say the games up until Sunday against Cincinnati, you could even talk yourself into the idea that these are games Houston could be in. They sort of have Trevor Lawrence's number. There's a weird thing there, you know. But this game against the Bengals, where you've got what many people consider, you know, prime and healthy Joe Burrow.
A game where
Burrow's coming back and putting his team in position to win, and obviously Boyd wants that one back in the end zone. But this is a game where Stroud now takes the field again. And by the way, the first rookie in 40 years to take the ball with 2 minutes or less and win a game 2 weeks in a row. That's ridiculous. And of course, what he did against Tampa and then what he did against Cincinnati, that was ridiculous, mm-hmm. really. Considering the environment and everything else, for Stroud to be in the conversation, like you said, for MVP. Of course, if he won it, amazing history. But even week 10, to be having a realistic conversation about MVP with CJ Stroud, that's a lot. And of course, you know, bye week for the Chiefs, bye week for a few teams, but still, this is a real conversation because the Texans are in the playoffs in this moment, and that's pretty ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. There's always a team that goes from worst to first, and they were my prediction for who was going to go from worst to first, but I mean, we still have a lot of football left.
Yes, sir, but please hold on to that. I mean, look, 10 weeks is not nothing. You know, there's a lot of what we do at Let's Catch Up where we're saying, all right, let's not get too excited. Let's not get ahead of it and out past our skis here, but week 10, we can start to say that some things come into focus, which is, again, why it was strange to see the Bengals stumble. Again, strange to see the Ravens. Yes, of course, massive divisional game against the Browns, but so bizarre. I mean, for the Ravens to have over the last three seasons, Taylor, this many games where they've got the lead and are not coming out on top in those games, I mean, it's really a historic pace, and it just doesn't really even make much sense, does it? I mean, you look at it and it just, you can't even imagine.
They lost the momentum, and once they lose the momentum, it really it just kind of cripples them. Rather than being a team that comes from behind and, you know, can win, they don't seem to be one of those teams that do that. They need to be able to.
9 games when leading by 7 or more points in the fourth quarter over the last 3 years. It's just bizarre. And you know, you can't necessarily pinpoint it on any one thing. And it was just credit to the Browns to come back like that. But wow, wow, wow. Now, one thing that we've got to say before we go in regards to week 10, they had a bye week and they were now off of it. And it's a team we've talked about again and again, all sides of the ball, but the 49ers. Taylor,
I think that there was a lot of things that played into that. I think that, you know, they had started on such a hot streak and, you know, they were the team to take down. Then finally, when they did get exposed, they were dealing with a lot of injuries then, though. When they were first exposed by the Browns, it was like, whoa, what the heck just happened here? Deebo Samuel's healthy, and you saw how much that does affect the entire offense, because it stretches the field. It then opens up Christian McCaffrey. Kittle went off yesterday.
Ayuk as well, of course. It's just, there's so much. I mean, obviously even Juszczyk's getting involved. I mean, that was such a complete win. But let's also talk about, you're bringing up the offense, of course, important, and also Trent Williams being healthy. Yes, of course, the offense. You're so right, Taylor. But did it look as if Trevor Lawrence was uncomfortable in every single moment of that game? Let's just say Chase Young, I just want to say Chase Young and just talk about what that defense can be now with Chase Young added to that offensive line, or that defensive line with Hargrave as well, and what they already wore with Bosa and with Warner at linebacker. I mean, this is just a terrifying defensive team as well. And Jacksonville on such an apex coming into that game, right? I mean, you could argue Jacksonville was the team everyone was so excited about, and to be at home and have that performance, it shows what the Niners.
Every time I get super excited about Jacksonville, though, I feel like something like that happens.
It's funny. We have to we constantly say, all right, we've got to sort of curb our emotions about these things, and it is so true. And Jacksonville proves that. But even with the Niners,
though, within the NFC, it has been the three teams that have stayed consistently at the top. Like, we haven't questioned that. It's the Cowboys, the 49ers, and the Eagles.
And we should now at least let's at least give credit. You know, we have to at least say, yes, I mean, the Ravens destroyed them, but the Lions,
yeah,
back and forth game with the Chargers, it seemed whoever was going to have the ball last was going to win that game. But
I don't put them in the same category. But yes, I see what you're saying. Are they going to make the playoffs? Absolutely. I mean, I guess you could also make the argument for the Vikings. Look at what they've done. They have the longest winning streak in the NFL right now. Josh Dobbs, like, what a hero. Talk sure. about somebody who can just go into any system and perform. That is the ultimate, whether it be a starting quarterback, I don't know, but the ultimate backup quarterback that you could have on your team.
I mean, talk about adaptation, adapting life. I mean, that is the ultimate. You know, considering what happened the week before, when he's flying it, he's hearing about being on this team on a Tuesday. It's almost too much. And again, what a complete destruction, really, of the Saints in the end. Yes, the Saints came back late in that game, but the Vikings were in control, and that was just thoroughly impressive. Just one more thing about the Lions. Again, when we talk about that, because they could get the one seed, that's what makes it a little scary, right? Then you'd have to take it very seriously. I think you're right from a tier standpoint.
It's all about matchups once you get into the playoffs. It's like, you can get in. It's all about the matchup.
And
you might play really well against somebody. You might have certain advantages because, you know, you've got a strong, whatever it might be.
But that Lions team on all sides of the ball finds a way to put it together. And of course, they are just, they embody their head coach, Dan Campbell. But you brought up the Cowboys. I wasn't going to. You brought up the Cowboys. You said it first before me. We'll just, Dak Prescott, can we just say again? Now, consider the opponent. And clearly the Giants is one he loves to see on the schedule. But 400 yards yet again, the 10th time in his career, Taylor, that we've got Dak Prescott.
That's like, Dak's played very well. I've never been anti-Dak. I think Dak's a great quarterback. But, you know, there's always been that critique of him that he can't come up big in the most important moments. And even when they have lost, I don't think it's on Dak.
Not at all, because if you look at the game the week before against the Eagles in Philly, to be in that position at the end of that game, really, when you go back and look at it, they're a yard short of essentially winning that game with CD tackled on that play, which, you know, essentially never really had a chance to get in the end zone. But
player in NFL history with at least 10 receptions, 150 yards, and three consecutive games.
There's something there. You know, Dallas is just one of those. Put them on the schedule in the playoffs on any day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever day they end up on the schedule in the playoffs, that is going to be a team that can beat anybody.
Yeah.
That Cowboys team can clearly beat anybody. And the problem is, when we talk about those measuring stick games, yes, the Niners got them. They're going to have another opportunity against the Eagles, but it just felt as if they didn't show up in the biggest moments at this point in this season. But there is going to be another chance. We know that, and they will be right there. We'll see. That second game against the Eagles is going to tell us plenty. But the Cowboys, it's a nice bounce back. Yes, consider the opponent, but it's a nice bounce back. Again, shout out to CJ Stroud again, though, Taylor. I think, you know, I mean,
one other team I do want to talk about very briefly. I know we're going to go over 10 minutes. My fault. How do they keep finding a way to win? Are they the real deal? And do you think that if they were in the NFC, they would actually be one of those teams that people are putting as the top? Because I don't think the NFC compares to the AFC this year. I think that we can all agree on that. And say they were in the NFC right now, would we be putting them up there with the Cowboys, Niners, Eagles? They're finding ways to win.
They are absolutely finding ways. It's incredibly impressive.
Where they've won off of a pick in the end zone.
And when you look at what they're doing, it's still so hard to explain, isn't it? Because we don't think, because we always want to go to quarterback first. And when you're talking about Pickett, it just doesn't feel like he's there. But when you look at the weapons around him, the way they're utilizing two running backs, what you're getting from Pickens, of course, what that defense can always bring, the season that Watt is having, the fact that Tomlin never has a losing season, it all starts to add up. And then you've got these crucial divisional wins that are happening. It's really interesting. And it just goes to show you, this is another team. Put them on any day in the playoffs and see what happens, because
I'm a little concerned about the Ravens now with Stanley out, Marlon Humphrey out. We don't know what their official injury designations are, but it didn't look good. Marlon's is obviously a non-contact injury. Stanley was uncomfortable on the ground.
And they've been dealing with injuries in the running game all season, right?
I mean, that's short turnaround off of the Thursday night game with the Bengals. The Bengals are coming off of a loss. You know, they're going to be. It's interesting. Steelers are
that division just won't go away all season. That division's going to be in the conversation of all teams in the playoff hunt. Who's going to win it? We just don't know. Well, Taylor, there's plenty of more that we're going to catch up with. I know. I cannot wait. I can't wait to see and hear what you're doing for Thanksgiving, because it's just, I know there will be something.
Potato casserole.
Yeah. Okay. All
That's
right.
That's how we're going to do it.